Okay, this is David Corus, Finance Committee Chair. I call the meeting to order at 10:01 a.m. Start with roll call. I'm obviously present. Don Frost?
Here.
Parker Wise?
Here.
John Johnson?
Here.
Dan Krupnik?
Here.
And Jeff Beckham?
Here.
All right, and I believe for staff, we have John Henshaw, Joe Salvatore, Andrew Levine, Cassandra Berthium, and Ann Harder. Is that correct?
Correct.
Great.
Correct.
So, second item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of our regular meeting from August 18th. Is there a motion to approve?
So move, John.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second, Parker.
Second by Parker. Is there any comments, requested edits, or discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Great. Approved unanimously. Andrew, are there any members of the public who wish to speak on items on today's Finance Committee agenda?
The public line is live if anyone would like to provide comment.
Hearing none, we'll move on to item number four on the agenda, operations update. So you should all have received in your attachments from Andrew several relevant attachments. There are four P&L statements, well, four documents, the general operating and the bond P&L, and then legal detail for both. So we'll start with the PDF titled Item 4, Gen Ops, P&L, Year-to-Date, 8/31/20. I'll just make an overarching comment, you know, that I think going forward, you know, John, this will be your item to take the lead on. You know, typically, you know, Cassandra and you know, answers any questions that we have and chimes in occasionally. I usually do sort of the overarching walkthrough, but definitely do not need to do that starting next month. And sort of with that preview of a transition. You know, we're pretty early in the fiscal year. There's not a whole lot to say about our operating and P&L other than we're obviously well within budget. You know, we've received, I think as we discussed previously, the first installment of the operating appropriation. We've received the impact fee from Gateway, which we've passed through from the city. We've received from some modest assessable revenue, which we hadn't budgeted for because we weren't sure whether or not any activities were going to be able to continue at the pier, but some modest ones have, as per, you know, previous agreements approved by the board these last couple months. You know, we'll be slightly under budget on salary and benefits because, you know, John started a little bit after the start of the fiscal year, and, you know, the finance director will be the same. The only other thing I would point out here is, you know, legal, which is something we've paid a lot of attention to. You know, I think we're, you know, starting off the year on a good foot, having controlled those expenses effectively. You know, you see we're on pace for budget with, you know, just about $16,000 these last couple months. Well, on pace to be under budget, and that accounts for some remaining legal fees associated with the settlement agreement and Seabury, so that's even above and beyond the general operating support, which was about two-thirds of that amount, which you can see in the detail. Cassandra, anything you want to add to that?
Everything's running smoothly at the moment.
Any questions or comments? Yeah, go ahead.
Since you mentioned legal, where are we with the new contract? I know the committee had made a recommendation. I can't remember. Did the board take action, or we were waiting John's review? Is that right?
Correct. So we had discussed it at two previous board meetings and kind of made the conclusion at the last meeting that it's teed up for John's review. I don't believe, with, you know, this being his sixth day, I think, that he has turned to that yet. But when we met last week, we did plant the seed. So I would expect that by next board meeting, we should be in a position to take action.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Any other comments or questions on the operating P&L or on the legal specific? Okay, so if you turn to the file, also item 4, but bond account P&L year to date, you know, this is very straightforward. It just shows the deductions that have taken place, which are relatively modest, and our legal expenses related to you know, State Pier and other capital projects. This, you know, pretty straightforward. Any questions or comments about that? And there is a breakdown as well. Item 4, bond account legal year to date, which just shows the itemization of those, showing how the majority of it is for State Pier and a very small piece of it is related to the amicus brief that had been filed on our behalf. Related to the Eastern Long Island Sound dredge disposal area. Cassandra, anything you have to add?
No, not on the bond piece, no.
Any comments or questions from members of the committee? So moving on to item 5, OPM update, and I believe, Anne, you are going to take the lead in just framing the accounting policies and procedures manual that we are introducing to the committee today to be reviewed and not acted on.
Correct. So good morning, everyone. In your packet, there should be an item 5A, accounting policies and procedures, and I'm just kind of walk you through it. Thank you, David. I do want to just mention again that please keep in mind that this is still receiving internal review from OPM and staff as well. So this is a draft. So I'll get started. One objective for this manual is to address the comments that were made by our independent auditor, so we wanted to make sure we incorporated those. I'm just going to highlight a few sections of it. In section 1.2, specifically on page 5, it talks that this manual shall be updated as procedures are improved with new practices. And so on an annual basis, this document should be reviewed and approved by the Finance Committee and the Board of Directors. So this document and should be looked at, shouldn't just be put on the shelf and forgotten about. It should be continually updated. We also updated the manual with the role for the Finance Director position, the Executive Director, and the Finance Administrative Assistant. Move forward to the budgeting section. We made sure we talked about and gave direction about the contingency line items that we have in the budget, when that should be used. And we also gave direction on, if you go to page 8, the timing of the budget. And that, you know, twice a year we should look at the expenditures, a forecast of the expenditures. how to amend the budget and when to use fund balance. So it kind of solidifies the report that this committee and the board of directors should be receiving on a monthly basis. We also put in the appendix the state reporting requirements, examples of those. Under cash, we talked more about the signatory authority and disabling an employee, what to do, how to do those actions. And we also talked about, put the policy in here about not pooling bond funds with operating funds. Also under the cash section is talks about the fund transfers, and this gives some detailed instructions for the user for moving cash from one bank account to the other and when and how to do that. We also want to talk about still on the receivables, and we kind of just laid this out kind of in the details of a balance sheet. So our next section was to talk about receivables. This section gives an explanation of the receivables and the accounting entries that would be related to those, specifically what is due from the state of Connecticut. And we also wanted to talk about, we put a section in here, it's going to be mostly in the appendix, about the New London State Peer Escrow account and procedures for that. There's a section six for fixed assets, and as it was commented by our auditors, we needed to put some policies in place for capitalization, so we were using a $5,000 threshold. It talks about how to depreciate our fixed assets. And I'm going to section eight, our accounts payable. So this gives the user some detailed instructions on recording and paying bills. It also strengthens our internal controls for the disbursement. We've put in a section about checks over $5,000 have to have dual signatures by the chairperson and the executive director. All legal bills need both signatures, and for business and travel and entertainment, they will need dual signatures. And there's a cross-checking there. So we put those types of internal controls in writing. The accrued salary section, it gives some detailed instructions on processing for payroll and the accrual entries that go along with that. The revenue section, we have some procedures on the state bond revenue and explains, again, the accounting entries that are needed there. We also created a new journal entry form that should be used. That's under Section 12, and it just gives examples of when a journal entry will be needed in the QuickBooks system. The accounting period section talks about list instructions for month-end and year-end closing. We also put a section in for record retention, and we've given a schedule of the records retention. And there's also the authority to seek the approval of the state of Connecticut, and there's a form that needs to be filled out before any records are destroyed. So that is a quick synopsis of what is in the document, and there's just as many appendix, there's a whole appendix section as well.
Thanks. And so, I mean, just a note about process first. So as Ann said, you know, she's there's still some internal vetting and review going on at OPM, and I expect there'll be some changes coming out of that. We'll circulate that, you know, as soon as we have it to this committee. In the meantime, you know, this committee should start their review of it, and once we have the quote unquote final draft, you know, that'll be referred to the full board. We'll let them know about it today, It'll be referred to them so that they can review and convey their comments to this committee. Potentially, you know, this committee will act on it at next month's meeting, but I think that'll depend on the timing of the final draft from Anne and team, you know, wanting to give you all ample time. But hopefully with you having this in hand now, you can start that review. And so, you know, even if we get the final draft with, you know, track changes showing the differentiation from this version a week ahead of next, you know, next finance committee meeting, that maybe that's ample time. So with that, and sorry to interrupt, Dan, I just wanted to make sure everyone was sort of clear on the steps. Any questions or comments for Ann?
This is Parker. I have a question on number 14, records retention. The third bulleted point states that if the item is mentioned in a lawsuit and suddenly destroyed, the presumption will be that the destruction was deliberate. Whose presumption is that? I mean, it's sort of a definitive statement. How about changing that to might be that the destruction was accomplished deliberately?
Excellent point. It kind of reminds me I probably should do a search on the word will and shall. Thank you.
Other comments or questions? And we've got, you got ample time to come up with them between now and when we take action. So it's not your last and final chance by any means.
Yeah, thank you, David, for going over the system.
Okay, anything else before we move on? Okay.
I'm off that. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. So next item on the agenda is discussion of revisions to the authority's employee manual. And so you all have... as an attachment, item 6, which is the employee manual, which we made some changes to over the summer. But as with all these documents, as Anne described with with the accounting manual, you know, we're constantly reviewing it, constantly checking it against other policies and procedures, as well as other quasi best practices. And a few things emerged, particularly through the process of bringing John on board. And you'll see that most of the changes relate to that. They are down on pages 15, 17, the bulk of them. And long story short, the employee manual was, it was implied throughout that, some of the terms of the manual were for the staff, hired by the executive director, and that there was a parallel complementary process whereby the executive director was hired by the board. And we just want to make explicit the ways in which, certain aspects of the executive director's, benefits and compensation are the prerogative of the board, as is clear in other governing documents of the authority. And so this basically takes, I think, what you could argue was an implicit through its absence, and makes it explicit. Andrew, do you want to add anything else to that, or Jeff, or Anne? I can't remember everyone was referring to.
Yeah, I'll just add that this, similarly to the accounting policy and procedure manual, is not looking for action today. We plan to package the approval of this document with the approval of the accounting manual, but again, just giving you plenty of time to see and review the document. I think the only other modification is page 11. Ann had flagged there was a line that employees would disclose passwords, and that is not recommended. So we've just struck the line with no other modifications. So very, very minor edits here.
So again, we've got time to generate comments and for review before we act, but any comment or question that anyone has today on this item? Okay. Next item on the agenda, item 7, is an item for action, consideration and approval of a recommendation that the board adopt a schedule of positions for the year ending June 30th, 2021. You may recall this is something we've done in the past. This is something we've done every year, and we're updating it. And I'm going to hand it over to Andrew to sort of remind us why we do this and what exactly we are doing and are not doing by taking this item up.
Sure. So Section 5 of our operating procedures covers the personnel policies of the authority, and a portion of that is the annual approval of this schedule of positions and total staffing levels document. This document includes the signature authority, if there is any, of each position. So the idea here is not to outline the filled positions necessarily of the authority, but either generally or specifically the descriptions or categories of positions the authority wishes to grant the director the ability to fill. So you'll see, in addition to the current staffing levels here, the addition of the finance director position, which we have discussed and heard much from Ann and Jeff on OPM's recommendation for that position. As the director position, or as the finance director position is at the director level, that also, per the same section 5 in the operating procedures, states that the creation of any new director level position or above shall require the separate approval of the board. So by taking action on this item, you are both approving the schedule itself along with the description for the finance director position, which is included as one of the exhibits. I believe it's Exhibit B to that agenda item.
Thanks, Andrew. So, you know, as Andrew described, you know, it's the board's responsibility to essentially establish the menu of positions from which the executive director can draw upon in hiring. A substantive addition here is the finance director position, which we discussed through the context of our budget proceedings, given that, you know, that was an element of our personnel budget that we contemplated. And this formally establishes that within the menu, and as Andrew described, establishes a job description along with it. Questions or comments from any members of the board, general comments before I entertain a motion, after which time we can have, you know, any detailed discussion. Okay, so I will entertain a motion, and then we can go into greater detail. I'll just, Andrew, I guess I could just parrot the resolution from the full board, right, for here?
Yeah, and again, it really is just the recommendation of the committee
to the board.
To the board,
right.
So the formality of it is up to you, but that would be fine.
Okay. Okay, so I guess then I'll entertain a motion to recommend the approval of the schedule positions and job descriptions as presented to the full board.
I'll make that motion, David. Is John?
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Jeff, I will second.
Second by Jeff. Any discussion, comments, questions?
Just confirming that these are all funded in the budget. We know that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Exactly my comment.
Okay. And we're at the 80 to 100. So if we paid 100 for the finance director and the agreed upon salary for the executive director, we're well within budget. That's my understanding.
Correct.
Good question. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Great. All those in favor of sending this to the board with the recommendation of approval?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. I do not believe that there is any old business to take up. Is there any item that any member of the committee wishes to suggest that we take up under new business? Okay, hearing none. Andrew, would you please reopen the line for our second call to the public?
The line is open if any member of the public wishes to provide comment.
Okay, hearing none. With a new record, I seek a motion to adjourn.
John, I'll make that motion.
Moved by John, is there a second?
I'll second
by John. Okay, the meeting's adjourned at 10:27, and we'll talk to you all again in 90 minutes.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, everyone.